Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Everybody, this is Lori.
And this is Abby.
Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities.
We are bringing you another episode in our 12-part series called Turning Struggles into Triumphs, Parenting Through Learning Challenges.
So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's interview. Have a great day.
Hi, Rachel. Thank you so much for being with me today and coming in to tell us a little bit about your experience as far as having a child with a learning disability or learning struggles. We appreciate it.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
All right. So first, tell us a little bit about the struggles that you observed prior to any diagnosis, like either educational and or behavioral type struggles.
So I actually have two children with different learning differences. But with the first one, my older child, my son, there were some signs in as early as even preschool. The teachers would sort of point out that he was having a hard time learning the letter sounds that go to each letter. So they would review it over and over, and he was just not able to remember it. Looking back now, it turned out to be dyslexia, which was diagnosed by your team. And looking back, now that I've learned more about dyslexia, there were other signs that other parents have collectively noticed that I wouldn't have put two and two together, such as trouble learning how to tie shoes, trouble learning how to ride a bike. I don't know the science behind that or if what studies have been done, but there are a lot of kids who have ended up having dyslexia that have had struggles in things that you don't always necessarily put toward learning.
Toward reading or learning.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you observed these struggles and during pre-K and then early years, and then how old was he when he was officially diagnosed?
It took a long time to get a diagnosis. So I felt like I knew before he started kindergarten, and I would try to work with the schools and they would say he's too young to diagnose anything. So probably second grade, I started asking for some deeper evaluations with the school, and they actually came back and said he did not have it. And I just knew in my gut that there was something. I thought dyslexia, but I don't know enough to say that for sure. That's not my job. That's not what my experience is in, but I ended up finding your team and somebody recommended them to me, and I just knew I had to get a second opinion basically, and went back to the school with the diagnosis. Your evaluation process was a lot more in depth, I think, than the school's also. So I had some actual backup behind the diagnosis instead of just saying, hey, he has dyslexia. I had the reports to show it. And then we just went from there. So he was second grade, so I think about 8 years old by the time I finally got a real diagnosis.
Wow. So, and he was in a public school, correct?
Yes, correct.
So when the school tested him, did they do what they called just dyslexia-only testing at the time, or did they do a full evaluation?
They did a full evaluation because we also suspected ADHD, which they agreed with. I think he's pretty textbook as far as ADHD goes. So the pediatrician agreed, I agreed. So they were trying to say it was sort of just that. But then as he got the medication and the interventions for ADHD, all of his grades improved except reading and writing. And so that's when I asked for more. They kind of pushed back. And so that's, it seemed obvious to me, but
So they were chalking his struggles in reading up to being related to his ADHD.
Correct.
Wow. So then once you had him privately tested, he was in fact diagnosed with dyslexia and presented with the characteristics. how did the school, did they sit down and review the results and talk to you guys about them? Did they get other input or do any additional testing? You know, what was that process like with sharing the results with the school and getting some support?
It was actually really positive. I was pleasantly surprised. I sent it all really in an email and said, here's what I got from somebody else. And they had a meeting amongst themselves. So I don't know exactly what was discussed, but then they presented me with an updated 504. So he already had a 504 for the ADHD. Mm-hmm. He started I think we got the results close to the holiday. So once they came back from the holiday break, he started with the daily dyslexia intervention, some new accommodations. I really Wonderful. Was pleasantly surprised because I know that's not the case for everybody.
Right. Yes. Right. You're right. It is not the case for everybody. And that is so wonderful that they were responsible. They were responsive in a positive way, and they immediately were able to identify, okay, yes, there is dyslexia and he needs that dyslexia intervention program. So yep. That's wonderful. And then how has he been doing since then, since he started receiving interventions targeting the dyslexia?
It actually gives me, I just got goosebumps to think about the change that we saw in him. So he's in seventh grade now. So this has been 5 years. He completed it's called Reading by Design, the program that they used in his elementary school. He completed that at the end of fifth grade, went on to middle school. He still has a 504. He still has all the accommodations. But they wanted him, the problem with middle school was that in order to get the dyslexia, daily dyslexia intervention, he would have to miss an elective. Mm. And they really wanted him to be able to do that elective because he was interested in it, which it's theater. And so they said, we're going to let him pursue that. And then if he ends up needing more intervention, we'll handle it from there. But he actually made honor roll the wow. entire school year. So he does have a lot of,
that's incredible.
Because they all have Chromebooks. Yeah, he's mm-hmm. done really well. So he gets a calculator in math, expecting a dyslexic student to learn the times tables by heart, for example, is not always going to happen. So he does get a calculator for math. He gets speech to text and text to speech on the Chromebook as far as reading and writing. And that's in every class. He has some accommodations for STAR testing. So he's done really well, and the accommodations are serving him, and it's leveling the playing field for him, and he's really wonderful. Just taking off. Yeah.
That is so awesome. I'm so happy to hear that. That gives me goosebumps also. That's ultimately our goal, is to help individuals and parents understand what is going on and then kind of make a plan of action moving forward. And it's our hope that that plan and all the interventions and accommodations will help the individual or the student make good progress and fill those gaps and be successful and also boost their confidence and yes. self-esteem. And so that's great. You've had just wonderful, wonderful success. And that's so exciting. I love that. Now, so no more intervention as far as direct reading intervention for dyslexia, but the accommodations are continuing to support him and obviously are effective if he's making honor roll.
Yeah. And I don't see any reason why we wouldn't continue with all the accommodations. They serve right. him. He's fine with them. So it's been great. And I really hope that we can just keep the plan. I know we have to review it sort of every year, go over mm-hmm. it with the counselors, but my daughter, on the other hand, has an IEP. That's totally different. But a 504 is pretty, comparatively, it's pretty easy for me and it for is. The school, I right. think. So I hope to keep that through high school and college even for him.
Right. And is he?
And I have the backup for it, which is great.
That is great. Wonderful. Yeah. I'm so glad. Yeah. So, and when I'm curious, so he was diagnosed in second grade, he was a little young. Was there a certain point where you explained to him why reading was more challenging for him than some of his peers, or why he struggled with some of the things he struggled with, and actually told him you have something called dyslexia and explained it?
I mean, I did right away, and I know that they talked about it in the pull-out class with a dyslexia specialist. She would address that with him. She was very good about addressing the reading, of course, but also maybe squashing any sort of stigma. His confidence has done nothing but grow since he got this. She talks about the positive aspects. He's very artistic. He thinks outside the box. He can come up with interesting resolutions to problems that I don't even think of. And she made sure for all of them to point out their strengths and not even consider dyslexia a weakness. She never, my daughter works with her now, so she never even calls it a weakness. She just calls it a difference.
A difference, right. That's awesome.
And that makes all the difference as far as I think the confidence and the mental health aspect that can maybe come along with learning differences. Just the way that you talk about it with them and approach it with them can make a huge difference. He does not have any competence issues.
Good. That's great. I'm so glad. You're right. I agree. I think it is important for them to understand that their brain does learn differently. And actually, you know, I kind of wish that the whole term learning disability itself would be changed to learning difference, because it is more of a difference rather than really just being a disability. And it's hard to tell a child you have a disability. So I like that, you know, making it more as a learning difference, and that the dyslexia teacher helped them understand all the strengths and the positives that can come from being dyslexic. And it does, you know, there are a lot of characteristics and positives, and they're, you know, typically very, very bright individuals with this, you know, unexpected underachievement in the area of reading. So I think that you've had, I'm so happy you've had a great experience and that your kids are both getting the appropriate interventions. You are in a public school. Both kids are in a public school district, right?
Yep. I don't think that they would get necessarily everything they need if they weren't. I've looked.
Good.
And it's been great. But I know that's not always the case in every public school, but in our setting, it's been very positive. But that's just the luck of the teachers that we have. Mm-hmm.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've been very lucky, and I'm happy. And your kids are, you know, benefiting from that as well. So if you were talking to another parent that is kind of in the shoes you were in maybe 5 years ago, what would you recommend to a parent that is seeing their child experience some of the same difficulties that you observed and witnessed in your kids early on?
I know it sounds sort of cliche, but I have these conversations and I tell parents to trust their instinct. You know your child better than the school. And so if you request the testing and you disagree, you have the right. You can actually get it at their expense. I didn't go that route because I didn't want to fight that battle. But I also have the privilege of not needing to fight that battle. But not everyone does. They don't have the time. They don't have the money. It's not cheap to get the outside testing. So they do have the right to have the school pay for that. So I tell them that I have recommended your testing services, several times to parents.
You.
And if you end up getting the same results as the school, that's fine too. Mm-hmm. Then you really can feel confident moving forward that maybe your child just needs some extra tutoring or something like that. But if you disagree with the school, there are other options.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to follow your instincts. Sometimes it's the same sort of as with medical things that can come up. If you sometimes have to go get a second opinion. It's the same as that.
That's true. That's very true. And we do that so much more often, it seems like, in the medical realm. In the educational arena, I feel like a lot of parents just feel like they don't know as much as the school staff, and that they look to the school staff as being the professionals and the all-knowing, and that they're going to have their child's best interests at mind, and always do what's best for each individual kiddo. But each school is different. Each school district is different. You know, there are laws in place that help protect individuals with disabilities, but there are still so many different interpretations and things that can be different school district by school district or school by school. So I think that's great advice to follow that mama gut. You know, if you feel like something isn't right, go get a second opinion, you know, seek, like you did, private testing, and then take it back to the public school. And, or, you know, if you have the school evaluate your student and you disagree with their evaluation, you can request that independent educational evaluation. And so I do think that's great advice. So I appreciate your time so much, Rachel, and I'm so, so happy and thrilled that your kids are both doing great and thriving. Regardless of learning differences or not, they're getting the services and interventions they need. They're feeling successful, it sounds like, and doing great.
Yep. So I am too. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Oh, we're so happy to help. Thank you for your time. And we will hopefully see you soon and talk to you again soon. Maybe we'll check up in another few years and see how they're all doing.
That'd be great.
Okay, wonderful. Well, have a great day, and thanks again.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.